Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? A nice warm day again. It's really good to see you all. I'm Jamie, I'm one of the ministers here. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. Welcome to you folks here in person. Welcome to you joining us online as well. It's really good that we're able to gather together in whatever means to be community together, to explore what God is doing amongst us by His Spirit. So we're going to start off with a few songs of worship. If you feel able to, comfortable, please stand with us and worship. If you'd rather sit, that's absolutely fine. And we will begin.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the wave of His mercy. His deep cries out to sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We sing, come, Lord Jesus.
Sing that again. Come, Lord Jesus. This is what we need.
We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, come, Lord, come now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, come, Lord, we need you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Cry out to you, come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the wave of His mercy. His deep cries out too deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. What else could we need? Where else could we go? Come, Lord Jesus, come. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that again.
My hope is is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Yeah. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in Savior's love. Through the storm, Lord of all. Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Shall come with trumpet sounds. Oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Let's just sing that one more time, just our voices.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ alone, You are Lord of us all. So we gather here this morning to celebrate that fact, to be reminded that You are our God, that You are Lord over all things, over all people, over all creation. So we gather here to praise Your name, to hear what You have to say to us, to be challenged, to be inspired, to be nurtured, to find peace and grace in Your presence and in the presence of Your people. So we pray that we can experience Your Holy Spirit present in this space this morning. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Nick. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great to have all of you guys here and you guys online as well. So a few things to share with you. We've been sharing over the past few weeks about Holiday Club. So we are able to book in for that now. So Holiday Club is for all those in primary school, so who have been in primary school over the past year, whether that's reception up to year six. So please, if you know of anyone who might be interested in that, it'd be great to have as many kids booked in as soon as possible. So please do let your friends and family know about that one. And just a note that went out in the email earlier this week as well about stage and scenery. So if you've already volunteered or if you'd like to volunteer to help with the stage and scenery, please do have a chat with Jamie about that, and we'll try to arrange some good times in the coming week to be able to meet at church, discuss that, plan that, and start to get that all together. And we would really still appreciate a couple more volunteers for the Holiday Club as a whole as well. So if you're able to pitch in, it's from the Tuesday through to the Friday. We're setting up scenery on Monday, and then it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 till 12 each morning, and then a barbecue on the Friday evening. So if you're able to help with any of that, that would be really brilliant. So do have a chat with Jamie or myself around that. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday is a family service. It's a family service special entitled Get the Summer Started. And that will be tying into our Talents fundraiser event as well. So we're going to have lots of things going on in that service. We're going to be really celebrating the start of the school holidays with an ice cream Sunday spectacular. And there's going to be lots of other things happening too, hopefully. It would be great if you've got an idea, if you've been hoping to use that seed money that you were given a couple of months ago, and have anything creative that you've got that you would like to sell, then we would be selling that. A lot of those things at that Sunday next week. And all of the funds from that are going to the Haven project and helping with the work going on there. So if you've got any ideas for that, please do go ahead and get planning over the coming week for those to be sold on Sunday. So just one of those talents things that is taking place at the moment is that Yvonne Ashton, give us a wave. Where are you? Just there. So Yvonne's been working away, making cross-stitch key rings with the wave crest from the one just there, and the heart logo as well for the cafe. So they look really great, and she's been making those. So do have a chat with Yvonne after the service if you're interested in getting one of those made. Now he's showing off. And then a final notice around PAT testing as well. Stuart, who is at the back, Stuart, give us a wave. So Stuart is able to do PAT testing, and he has really wonderfully offered that if anyone would like any of their equipment to be PAT tested, then please do have a chat with Stuart after the service. And he's going to be at church for the next two Tuesday afternoons. So the 19th and the 26th, 1 till 3 p.m., and we'll PAT test any electric equipment that you bring in turn for a donation towards the Haven. So please do have a chat with Stuart if you'd like any more details on that one. But at this point in the service, we take up our offering together. It would be great if we could just have a few volunteers who can help take the baskets round at this point. That would be wonderful. So if this is your church, if this is your community and you want to be a part of that and help continue the work and feel able to do so, then please do give in whatever way you feel able to. If you're just visiting, please do not feel pressure in doing that. This is another expression of our worship as a church community. And Steve, if you want to have a little twinkle on the piano. Tinkle, twinkle, whatever. And then we're going to have the kids go out. Yeah, if we've got any kids or youth this morning, then if you would like to head out to your respective groups, that would be brilliant. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for these gifts. Lord, we thank you for so much more than just what's represented here. Lord, we thank you for the love that you surround us with, Lord, in every season of our lives. When we're on the mountain tops, Lord, enjoying the view, or when we're walking through the valley of the shadow, your love, your constancy is unchanged. Lord, we pray that these things that you give us, our time, our talents, our treasure, Lord, would be well used for your kingdom, that we would know a joy through using them well, far in excess of the simple possessing of them. And Lord, we pray for our kids, we pray for our youth, we pray for those who will be teaching and caring for them this morning, Lord. Bless them. Bless our congregation, Lord. Bless those who are struggling with ill health at the moment. We think of those faces and names. We bless those who are experiencing need and trial in other areas of life, whatever they may be. Lord, those that we can call to mind, and those that perhaps we don't even know about, but you know, in our church community and in the wider community, Lord, we pray for your spirit of love and healing and wholeness, your hands that bring freedom. You bring sight to the blind. You set the captives free. You enable the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. You cleanse those who need cleansing, Lord. You make all things new. Even us, Lord, in your love. We need you, Lord.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. Silver only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone. You alone are my strength. strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how good your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Jealous for me, lost like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Sing that again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
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 Blessed.
Blessed be the name.
We declare that. In all the storms of confusion and chaos and wrongness and brokenness, over every situation, we speak Jesus. And we reaffirm our commitment to build our lives upon the rock. Are you building your life upon the rock today? Is Jesus your rock, or is there something else? Is there something else that you put your security in? When push comes to shove, or is your house built on the rock? Because when your house is built on the rock, then your universe is in the hands of the Lord, and He is faithful.
He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful.
Awesome. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, band. So, if anyone was here last week, you might recall that it was Alistair preaching, and his sermon was called, Who Are You Looking At? And then the week before, we were in our Act Now series, and Jamie was sharing from chapter 16, right at the start of that, what verses 1 to 10. He called it cuts and closures, which he was really chuffed with. And do go back and give that a listen if you haven't already. So we are continuing in Act Now series this week. But just a reminder of when Jamie was preaching at the start of Acts chapter 16, he was sharing about the Apostle Paul and how he was flexible and prepared to do what it took to share the good news with people. And it was a challenge to us to also seek to be flexible and open to how we can communicate the good news with others. So next, we are journeying into continuing with Acts 16, verses 11 to 15. So just five verses that I've been planning to hone in on just over one sermon. And I realised that actually, if we did that for every single part of Acts, if we worked about five verses at a time, there's over 1,000 verses in Acts. So it would take about 3.87 years approximately for us to complete if we did it every single Sunday. So then I reflected on it a little bit more and thought, actually, going into this level of detail is a bit daft. We need even more. So instead, I've decided to do it over two sermons instead. So in 2 weeks' time, I'll be preaching again, and we'll still be in Acts 16, verses 11 to 15. So just focusing in and around those five verses. But this week, I'm doing much more of an overview. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be focusing on the passage itself. But I'm just going to invite T to come up as we share in that passage together.
Good morning, everyone. It's really nice to be here with you this morning. This is Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. The conversion of Lydia. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day, to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that, T. So I've called this one The Colour Purple, Part 1. I don't know. Has anyone ever read the book or watched the film? Yeah, a few people. It's nothing to do with that. I just like the title. So you'll be glad to know. So I'll be talking about the details of The Colour Purple and that passage in more detail in 2 weeks' time, and we'll go over that again together. But this passage, it focuses on a woman named Lydia. And it's quite easy to gloss over this passage, really. It's quite short, and Lydia is just mentioned in 2 of the 5 verses here as well. It's much more tempting to focus on the next part in Acts 16, which is more well known, where Paul and Silas are freed from prison. Much more exciting. And this is the problem, really. It's so easy to gloss over almost any mention of women in the Bible. This is interaction time. You'll have missed me getting you to interact with one another. I'm sure you really love it. But what it's going to be really short, really brief. But what I'm going to ask is that you can just turn to the person next to you, and in the space of 30 seconds, you need to, between the two of you, name as many names of men in the Bible that you can think of. And then you've got to add up how many you've thought of in 30 seconds. So 1, 2, 3, go. Five seconds. Time up. Stop. No more. You can say more names if you want, but they will not be counted. Okay. And now, quickly again, in 30 seconds, you've got to name as many women from the Bible as you can. Go. Five seconds. Time up. Stop. No more. Okay. So, don't need to know exact numbers at all, but which one was easier to do out of the two? Yeah, I think that was a safe bet, really. So, compared to the number of men, there are few women mentioned in the Bible by name. The exact number of named or unnamed women in the Bible is kind of uncertain because there's a number of difficulties involved in calculating the total. The Bible sometimes uses different names for the same woman, or names in different languages can be translated differently, and some names can be used for either men or women. So one study apparently produced a total of 3,000 to 3,100 names, and 2,900 of which are men, with 170 of the total being women. Yeah. And a real recalculation due to the possibility of duplication as well produced a total of 1,700 distinct personal names in the Bible, with 137 of them being women. And then in yet another study of the Hebrew Bible, so just the Old Testament, there are a total of 1,426 names, with 1,315 belonging to men and 111 belonging to women. So 70% of the named and unnamed women in the Bible come from the Old Testament. And one professor said that despite the disparities among these different calculations, it remains true that women or women's names represent between 5.5 and 8% of the total names in the Bible. A stunning reflection on the androcentric character of the Bible. So androcentric means focused on men. And the disparity doesn't end there either. A study of women's whose spoken words are recorded in the Bible, it found that 93 and actually only 49 of those women are named. So 93 women have words within the Bible and 49 of those are named. So actually, women speak a grand total of 1.1% of the time in the Bible, leaving the men to make up the remaining 98.9%. I don't know if any of you had an idea of those kinds of numbers before. So what does this tell us about the Bible? Well, last week, Jamie talked about a little about how we understand the Bible. He talked about how it can be seen as a Haynes manual. I have no idea what that is, but something about that it's kind of seen as instructions, helpful instructions, and he explained how the Bible isn't an instruction manual. It's a collection of books written over thousands of years by many people in their relationship with God. And another common doctrine is also that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that God divinely influenced the human authors of the scriptures in such a way that what they wrote were the very words of God, and that every part of the Bible came directly from God. However, on the subject of women, this is where this way of understanding the Bible can begin to get into some trouble. If we understand the Bible being divinely written by God, then we also have to face the fact that if we work within that framework, then God clearly didn't have a lot to say about or through women in comparison to men. And if we continued with that line of argument in present day, then we really do start to step into dangerous territory. That God chooses to work through men more than women, that men therefore should have more of a voice than women, that men have more value than women either. Now, not many people would consciously say that's what they believe, or I would at least hope not. But you can perhaps see how these kinds of beliefs have unconsciously been taken on over the years, where we live in a society that has been balanced in favour of men for so long and has had to make very concerted efforts to bring a balance, more of a balance, to the rights of women and men, and still has some way to go in some areas. So don't get me wrong, I do believe that the Bible is inspired, in that it is written across thousands of years by hundreds of people who have been inspired by their relationships with God and their experiences of God. This means that whilst they shared about God, they did so within the context and the world that they found themselves in, which was a very patriarchal, male-dominated world. When we look at the Bible through this lens, understanding how the writers of the books in the Bible spoke from the context through which they lived, then we can begin to perhaps reframe our view of what the Bible has to say about women. And it shows that actually in such an utterly male-dominated world that the Bible was written in, the fact that there are any stories that focus on women, that women are named within the Bible, that some of them have words, many of them wonderful, inspiring and challenging words and actions and deeds, This all demonstrates how God's heart for women managed to inspire the various writers of the Bible to include them, to highlight their words and their actions, to ensure they had a voice in a world where they were deeply suppressed and oppressed. We have the amazing bravery of Rahab in protecting the Israelite spies. We have the courage of Esther, risking her life to save the Jewish people from destruction. The loyalty and commitment from Ruth, where she says these words to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. Some really powerful, inspiring words there. Or the strength and embracing from Mary, mother of Jesus, with her inspiring words of the Magnificat. And these are some of the words from that. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. These are some of the bigger names of the women in the Bible, but there's others who play their part and might only be mentioned briefly in a verse or two. But the fact that they get a mention at all means that their stories stood out in a patriarchal world. Jesus' intentions and interactions with women in the Gospels, we read so much about that in those four Gospels. So often, the women say or do something that's really quite profound that Jesus' male disciples haven't themselves acknowledged. So I would encourage us all when reading the Bible that when we come across any story that focuses on a woman, whether it's in a book or a chapter or even just a few words, to just sit with that passage just for that little bit longer. And to remember that against all the odds, that story about that woman has made it in there for a reason, and that God can speak to you through that passage. Some might ask the question here, but isn't that being biased towards stories about women? Yeah, it is. But isn't bias bad? Well, not necessarily. But what about God or the Bible? That it couldn't possibly be biased or be encouraging bias. Well, I did an essay when I was doing my theology degree about 6-7 years ago, titled, Does the Bible Support the Idea that the Church Today Should Have a Bias to the Poor? And I spent about 6,000 words coming up to this conclusion that a culmination of many, many passages spanning across the Bible point towards God not only having a bias towards the poor, but towards social justice and in favour of those who are marginalised. There are loads of examples where without having this bias means that the balance is firmly tipped in favour of the majority, or the privileged, or those who are powerful. Our school education system is ultimately tipped in the favour of those who come from wealthy, middle or upper class families, where they're more likely to get extra support at home, to always be well fed and nourished, to have less disrupted sleep, and less likely to have to care for siblings as well. And that's why the government provides funding for pupil premium, free school meals, after-school clubs, extra one-to-one support for children from less wealthy families. And if there wasn't that intentional bias in favour of extra support for those families, then those children's education would be likely to suffer even more than it currently does. The preferential option for the poor it's a principle in Christian teaching that came out of Latin America in the 1960s. And this refers to a trend throughout the Bible of preference being given to the well-being of the poor and the powerless in society, and in the teachings and commands of God, as well as the prophets and other righteous people. And there's so many stories littered throughout the Bible that point to this preference. The well-known passage from Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus taught on the day of judgment that God will ask what each person did to help the poor and needy. And he says, "I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It's to ensure that those who are marginalized, those who are on the fringes, those whose voices are so often not heard enough are included, that they are listened to, that they are valued. That's why the bias is needed. We need to give more of a focus towards them in order to shift the center of gravity and bring about more balance. And through consciously doing this, it can begin to shape our views and outlook on those who are marginalized. And that's why, also, you might be aware in job recruitment that they're pushing for people to at least shortlist people from minority backgrounds, because they're underrepresented and the bias needs to be shifted so that they stand more of a chance. Because we have our own unconscious biases against those who simply aren't like us, or we don't view them as like us. And we all need to be playing our parts in readdressing the balance. So why am I saying all of this? It's a reminder that the stories of marginalized women in the Bible have just as much value as those stories and words of men. But because women are so underrepresented in the Bible, we need to give extra focus on those stories and not just to gloss over them. To know that those stories are in there for a reason. For those stories of women to have made it into the Bible, it means that they have something to say. And because also that I believe God wants us to be aware of our own biases and to be reaching those who are on the fringes of our community, those people in Matthew 25 and others. So I would encourage us to take time over the next week or so, next week or two, to sound out some of those passages that focus on women in the Bible. Perhaps to read within a gospel, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, to see how Jesus interacts with women and their words and their actions. Or perhaps for us to reflect on our own privileges as well, to have a think about what are our biases, what is my bias towards different people. Maybe look up privilege online and what that really means to us in this society. If you just type in privilege walk on YouTube, there's these really interesting couple of videos. I didn't have time to show it today, but a video where it's basically there's a group of people, they all start in the same place on the same line, and then the person who's leading that walk asks a series of questions around the disadvantages that people may have experienced. So it might be that you've grown up with one parent, or that you missed out on lots of education because you were unwell, or you weren't fed well enough at home. And basically, if you did or didn't have those, then you were to step forward or you're to step back. And then by the end of that round of questions, just really interesting to see people who were at the front, and typically white middle-class men at the front, and those of ethnic minorities and women more towards the back. I'd really encourage you to check it out. It's really valuable in just realizing our own privileges and our own biases, and how we can increase our own awareness of those people who might be on the fringes, who might be on the margins, and how we can be meeting them where they're at, and what does good news look like for them, and how we can be journeying with them. I'm just going to invite the band up to do a final song, and as they come up, I'm going to pray. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity this morning for us to reflect on women in the Bible. We thank you for the inspiring stories that we can find there of Ruth, of Mary, of Esther, of Rahab, some really powerful, influential women. Lord, I pray that we can be challenged to sound out some of those stories, to not gloss over them, however big or small they might be, and be asking the question of what might that be teaching us today. As we read alongside the stories of men as well, may we ask the question of what is this story about this woman telling us? What does it mean for me to have privilege? What are you showing me, Lord, in how I can better meet with people where they are at? How this church can better connect with those who are on the edge. Those people who we struggle to fully include. Lord, may we seek to become a more inclusive and welcoming people. To see everyone as your children. Lord, we thank you for your unending love for each and every one of us. Amen.
Please stand with me. Let's sing this song as a commitment. As Nick was sharing, a commitment to allow God's Spirit to shape us, to put Him first in all things, to build our lives upon Him.
This is my desire to honor. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, worship you. All I have within me, I give. All that take every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Have your way in us, Lord, as individuals. It starts with me. Thank you that you give us a community, and I pray, Lord, that you'll have your way in our community, Lord. But it starts with me. Lord, reveal to me any way, any area in my life where you need to bring healing, where you need to bring a change of mindset. You need to show me something new. Teach me something new, Lord. Give me different resources, different skills. Give me a different way of looking, new eyes. Have your way in me, Lord. Let your way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let your way and your truth and your life be planted deep in me, in all of my brothers and sisters here in person and joining us online as well, Lord. Plant your way, your truth, and your life within us. Let it grow. Let it grow up. Let it bear fruit. Let us live for you, Lord. Live following you. Let us be Jesus' followers, walking in your footsteps. Amen.